puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. You know, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without gifts. There's Santa Claus, and then there's Gordon Goldsborough, who has a white beard, by the way, listeners. But he's come into the studio with gifts for you. It's tied in to this week's Abandoned Manitoba. We're going to get there in a minute. Good morning, Gordon Goldsborough.
Good morning, Nadja Kidwai.
I made you blush with that Santa Claus comparison. I apologize. No offense intended.
I'm not quite as heavy as he is.
Definitely
let's
not.
Get that straight.
I can confirm that. But people do love you, and you have come bearing gifts. Remind us of the clue from last week.
I said that we would be looking at a building near Portage la Prairie that if you had seen it in the 1940s and 50s, you might have seen that it was filled with what looked like large black poodles. Now, the building to which I refer doesn't have a name, but if it did, it might be Bain's Curly Kennel. And that's because for several decades, it was home to a kennel for a rare breed of dogs operated by a man named Donald Bain.
Okay, so much to talk about here. So let's take these one at a time. First of all, what rare breed are we talking about here?
Well, some people look at a photo of them, and I did bring, by the way, a photo so you could see what we're looking for here. People look at them, and they describe them as large black poodles, but because they're covered in very dense black curls all over their body, it looks kind of like a poodle. Now, they're not a crossbreed like a labradoodle. They are, in fact, a purebred called a curly-coated retriever, or a curly for short. They're actually more closely related to golden retrievers than they are to poodles. The breed originated in England in the 1860s, and they were bred specifically for bird hunting. That's going to be a part of our theme today, bird hunting. They're known for their intelligence, their trainability, their calm temperament. They are described as being a little aloof if you're not familiar with them, but for the owner and for their family, they are apparently exceptionally loyal, friendly dogs.
Okay, so let's talk about the other part of this conversation. Who is Donald H. Bain?
Yeah, he's somebody I have obsessed over for over 20 years. He was born in Belleville, Ontario in 1874, and he came to Winnipeg with his family at the age of six. And what it means, of course, is he was one of the very first residents of Winnipeg, and he was very active in athletics. In fact, he has been described as the most broadly talented amateur athlete that has ever lived in Manitoba. He excelled at numerous sports, and he won championships in roller skating, gymnastics, cycling, trap shooting. He participated in a whole lot of things well into his senior years. Well, in fact, in the 1930s, by which time he was already well on in age, he won the Canadian Figure Skating Championship. So very active in those sports, but I think the sport for which he is best known is hockey. He was the captain and center of something called the Winnipeg Victorias. And in 1896 and in 1901, the Victorias brought to Winnipeg the Stanley Cup. Yeah, and it was a very different time, of course. The nature of hockey was very different. But yeah, he was a hockey god. But he was also a businessman. He ran a grocery brokerage, and he made an awful lot of money. And with the proceeds of his wealth, among them, he built a grand hunting lodge at Delta Marsh. And he owned a vast tract of marshland to indulge his passion for hunting ducks and geese. And that's where it comes back to the hunting part, the bird hunting part. It also comes back to me, because, of course, listeners may know that I'm a scientist, and in an earlier stage in my life, I worked at a research station at Delta Marsh that is operated by the University of Manitoba. It was Bain's former hunting lodge. So there's the connection.
So where does Bain fit in to the story regarding the curlies that you mentioned before?
Well, Bain obtained his first curly from a breeder in Glasgow, Scotland, and it arrived here in Winnipeg in August of 1914. Now, he appeared to have liked this breed so much that he bought more of them from Scotland and began his own breeding program. And because Bain never married, he basically treated his dogs as his children, and he pampered them. You know, he generally had a favorite dog at any given time, and that dog would accompany him everywhere, to home, to the office, and definitely when they went out to the marsh. You know, and over the course of his life, he had several of these favorites, because of course, he had over a 40, 50 year span, a whole sequence of these dogs. Some of them were named Jock, or Oscar, or Joe, or Donnie, and well, in fact, a couple of them he gave, well, let's just say, rather politically incorrect names based on the fact that they were very dark black.
So we won't go there.
I'll leave that to your imagination. But when his dogs died, here's another thing that indicated in the esteem in which he held them. He actually buried them in a graveyard in his yard at home in Winnipeg here with little markers. You know, and so actually in my personal collection, and I brought it in to show you this morning, Nadia, I actually have the burial plaque for Jock.
And it's really quite impressive. Can you describe what we're looking at here?
It's a piece of stone on which there is a brass plaque, and molded into the metal on the top is a picture of a curly coat with the name Jock underneath it. So this would have been the marker for Jock's grave, and he would have had another grave beside it for Joe and for Oscar and Donnie and all the others. This apparently was quite a common thing in his yard, at least until he passed away.
Now, you mentioned that Bane pampered his curlies. To what extent? What are we talking about here?
Well, I've heard a number of stories about this, but I think the one that really sticks with me is that they dogs would have the free run of his house in Winnipeg, and they would run up and down the stairs. And apparently the stairs are kind of slippery, and people occasionally would notice this as well. They'd trip and slip, and I know the housekeeper apparently injured her leg one time because she had slipped on the stairs. And so she said to Mr. Bane, could you maybe put carpet on the stairs? And he'd, no, couldn't do that. That was too expensive. Well, one time his dog slipped on the stairs and injured his leg. The carpeting was installed right away.
He had his priorities.
He did
indeed.
And
the poor housekeeper was not one.
Yep.
How common were curlies in Manitoba?
The first pair of curlies arrived here in Manitoba in June of 1911, 3 years before Bane's Scottish curlie. And I found in the old newspapers that I've looked through a whole bunch of classified ads offering them for sale. So although he was not the first person to bring one into Manitoba, he seems to have been the breed's biggest booster. You know, so stories that were shared with me by Bane's extended family indicated that at any given time, he had over 80 curlies at a time. And most of them were not at his home here in Winnipeg. They were actually at a kennel, this building that we talked about at the beginning of the episode at Portage la Prairie. And occasionally he would give a curlie to someone who he thought would give it a good home, you know, maybe a friend or a family member or an employee. But he always made clear to them when he gave them a dog that he would be visiting periodically. And if he ever came to believe that the dog was not being treated properly, he would take it back. So clearly, I mean, these dogs were definitely his pride and joy.
Tell me more about that building at Portage la Prairie, which you mentioned. What is it exactly?
Right. So the building at Portage was built in the early 20th century. I haven't been able to work out exactly when, but I know that Bane bought some farm property southwest of Portage. And on that property, he built a farmhouse, a two-story wooden farmhouse. It's still there. You can see it. And a series of outbuildings for the farm that was there. And among the outbuildings was a long, fairly low building. And along the length of the building, there were a series of little doors, probably only about maybe a foot, foot and a half high, all down the length. And you look at that and think, what the heck are all those? Well, that was the dog doors. You know, they had a kennel, and so the dogs could go in and out. They'd have a little sort of running area outside. They could get a little exercise. That was effectively where he kept the vast majority of his curlies. Well, so leap forward to 1964. Bane is now dead 2 years, and his estate sold the property at Portage, this property, this farm, to the provincial government. The reason was the provincial government planned to build the Portage Diversion. The Portage Diversion is kind of like the little brother to the Red River Floodway that goes around Winnipeg and reroutes the Red River around the city. Well, the Portage Diversion reroutes the Assiniboine River north into Lake Manitoba, and Bane's property happened to be right where they wanted to build the outlet for that Portage Diversion. So buying his property secured that outlet. Well, then they had all these buildings left from Bane's time. So over the years, they've had people staying in that farmhouse. But what I've learned is that apparently the old kennel is no longer used as a kennel. They, for a time, used it to source sandbags. If they needed them for emergency purposes, they'd stick them in there. But I've also been told that there's a big problem with asbestos in that building, too. So it's not safe to go in there for any length of time. So there's a big sign on the door that warns you about the asbestos. And recently, the building has been clad in metal cladding, and it's covered over the row of dog doors. So now, if you look at it, it's just sort of a nondescript, long, low building. You know, that heritage, that connection back to the time when it was a major kennel facility for these curly-coated retrievers is now concealed. But I'm still left with a bit of curiosity. You know, I would really like to know if there are any curly-coated retrievers still living in Manitoba. And if so, does their ancestry trace to the old curly kennel near Portage?
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you had some giveaways, some gifts for our listeners that's related to this. Can you describe what you have there?
Indeed. So in the course of my research on Bane, I've obsessed with him for years, and I collected a whole bunch of photos, including many showing him with his curlies. And so about 13 years ago, the field station that I used to work at produced a cookbook. And the idea was that it collected some of the recipes that we used at the field station, and we illustrated it with pictures from these historical ones. So on the cover is a picture of Bane with one of his curlies, and just inside a few pages is a picture of a whole bunch of curlies lounging on the front steps of Bane's old lodge. And incidentally, we have talked about that old Bane lodge in this series way back when, because unfortunately it's standing empty on the shore of Lake Manitoba today.
This book is so charming. Obviously full of recipes, but yes, these pictures of his curlies, and it's local and it's useful. So a perfect Christmas gift. So thank you, Gordon, for that giveaway. Tell us about the clue for next week.
Next week, we're going to look at a boarded up 110-year-old Winnipeg building named Victoria Court that lately, well, let's just say it's been courting disaster.
Stay tuned for that. Gordon, thank you so much.
I'll see you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.